Hachette Audio presents Can't Slow Down, How 1984 Became Pop's Blockbuster Year. Written by Michelangelo Matos. Read by Corey Carthiel. Introduction written and read by the author.
Introduction. About two-thirds of the way through writing this book, I was taking a car home while listening to a jack station, the driver's choice. Shortly after Phil Collins's In the Air Tonight, with the last 30 seconds cut off, boo, gave way to The Bangles' Walk Like an Egyptian, the driver said, "I'm from the 80s. Me too," I said, "big time." One of my cherished early memories of being a pop fan, an afternoon I've long recalled as having sealed my fate as one, was in the summer of 1984 when I was 9. I was being forced to clean my room, a task I took to with great indolence. I wasn't allowed out until I was done. I turned on the radio, toggling between two top 40 stations, skipping past commercials, and for about 3 or 4 hours I waited until one of them played a song I disliked. It had to happen. The radio always played songs I disliked. But it didn't. After a couple hours, I realized I should be recording this, and took out a cheap C60. The first song on after I hit record was Patti Smyth and Scandal's The Warrior, with its bang bang chorus. I had a busted air rifle I tried to bang bang along to the song with, but it wouldn't load twice in time, alas. Growing up in the Twin Cities at the height of Purple Rain mania, and being a Prince fan and a pop fan since memory, made 1984 an acutely exciting period. A few years later, as I began seriously investigating rock and pop history, reading books and old magazines and newspapers, it came to light that I wasn't alone. A number of rock critics and historians considered it a peak year then and afterward. In particular, Dave Marsh's The Heart of Rock and Soul, the 1001 greatest singles ever made in 1989, championed 84 as the year of an American explosion, the greatest group of American pop singles of the decade. I'd been right that day in my room. Then the 90s happened, and for many young rock fans coming of age, it seemed urgent to discard anything that had the mark of the 80s upon it. Gated drums, brassy synthesizers, canted keyboard bass lines, the coked-up sonic hallmarks of the Reagan decade were suddenly desperately uncool. I once met someone at a party who insisted that Prince had never made rock music because, and I quote, "it doesn't sound like the Pixies." But it wasn't just the music that had changed. So had the business of it. Part of what made 1984 seem so future-forward was the fresh background of the business having near
sample complete. Ready to continue?